I can't be. Because some, you know, if you're too cool, people won't take you serious. So why should God? Amen.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Amen, amen, amen. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this wonderful opportunity to hear from you. Minister to us through the text. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can. Give illumination, understanding, revelation. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor as you reveal these principles and we practice them and give you the praise for them as you profit us. We say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 18, verse 18. It's a standalone verse, and I won't be long because the verse is not long. And it says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word, and more especially the doers. You may be seated in God's presence. I want to talk about the power of the believer to bind and loose. The power of the believer to bind and loose. The first time we hear this term of binding and loosing is in the 16th chapter and the 19th verse, when Jesus has just told Peter that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And then he goes on to tell Peter that he will give unto him the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now listen, he was the first to tell Peter this, but it was not the final time he told believers this. Peter was just the first one. So you need to understand that what he told Peter first, he told all of us later. And he said to him, which is important to understand, that I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now the keys represented authority. The power came in binding and in loosing. So he was saying to Peter, Peter, because of this great revelation God has given to you, he says, upon this truth, I will build my church. And then he moves on and he tells them, and I will give unto you the keys or the codes of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the keys, and many times when we think of keys, we think of physical keys and a lock. But when Jesus speaks of this, he's thinking about not physical keys, but code keys as to a mystery. It's like giving you the code to a combination lock. So when he gave Peter the keys or the combination to the combination lock, the code to the combination lock, he didn't give it just to Peter. He gave it to him first, but not only. Now, he tells him whatever he binds on earth, he'll bind in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth, he looses in heaven. Now, why does he tell him that? One, because of their relationship. The same relationship is required between the Lord Jesus Christ and all believers. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus before you will be given or revealed the code to the combination of all the mysteries of the Word. You are able to unlock mysteries in the Word of God that other folk will look at and can't unlock because they do not have the combination code. Listen, God wants us to understand everything begins with relationship. From relationship comes revelation. He reveals things to you so that you will know how to move and how to minister, how to move and minister in and according to the Word, the will, and the way of God. It's so important to know the Word of God so that God can give you revelation, give you inspiration, give you the ability to instruct you in things that take you to higher and more intimate places in God. A relationship with Him puts you in a position to know what others do not know. He'll tell you some things because you're in relationship with Him that He won't tell church folk. If you're a believer and other folk are just church folk, He will reveal certain codes to mysteries to you that they just can't figure out. And you'll wonder why He works on believers' behalf, but not on church folk behalf. Because the Pharisees were religionists. They were church folk, but they weren't believers. But when the believers came along and believed Jesus and heard Him gladly, He revealed things to them that He didn't reveal to other folk. And so revelation is based upon the relationship you have with the Lord. He loves intimacy with you. He loves you to spend time with Him. He loves for you to take out time for Him. He loves for you to make sure that you prioritize your life and place Him first in your life. So now Jesus deals with this in the 16th chapter. He moves on to the 18th chapter and he says, verily, which is truly, or of a truth. Some of the old preachers say a true fact. I say unto you, whatsoever ye bind. Now, there are three things in verse 18 of the 18th chapter of Matthew that I want us to see in this verse. Three things. First of all, the privilege of the believer. He says, verily I say unto who? You, the believer. If you read a few verses up, you'll discover that he's talking to believers. He's not talking to sinners and unsaved folk and people without a relationship with him. He's talking to believers. He was just telling them in the 15th through the 17th verse in how they had to be disciplined and the doctrines of the word, how they had to get it together and get themselves straight before with one another before they can go before God, etc. He was putting everything in order, divine order. And then he says, verily, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever ye bind. Now, first thing is, it's a privilege for the believers. I want to hear you say that. A privilege for the believers. If you're a believer, I want you to say, it's a privilege for me. Why is it a privilege for you? Because the Lord Jesus gave it to you. He gave you that privilege. Now, look at what goes on next. Because right after you have this privilege, he gives you a principle. What is the principle? Whatsoever ye bind on earth. That's the principle. Whatsoever ye bind on earth, here is the promise, shall be bound in heaven. That's a promise from the Lord. If you function according to the principle, the ability, the power to bind here, underscore in your Bible, whatsoever. Whatsoever. Whatsoever is so important because you begin to recognize that he's not limiting you, but you are limiting you. Now, here's one thing you need to understand. That whatever you bind should always be according to the word of God. Something that God hates. Something that God does not permit. Something that God does not like or want us to participate in. Something that does not sit well with God. In other words, those binding abilities come because we are representatives of God in the earth realm. Because we are representatives of God in the earth realm, we are echoing his examples, which means that we have his divine purpose and plan enacted in the earth realm. Jesus said in Matthew 6:9, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Listen now, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. So as representatives of God, as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, we then have the privilege to bind satanic powers and satanic abilities and all of those things that are not like God, because we belong to God and we are privileged with this power. You don't have to go whining and crying to God about do this, do that. He said, you do it. You got the power. We waste a whole lot of time letting the devil get with a whole lot of away with a whole lot of stuff because we don't know. We pray for stuff God has already given us power to do. And I think because we're scared or we are not in the knowledge of what we are able, capable, and privileged to do, we pray because we don't know what to do. Like, Lord, do this, do that, do the other, when he has already privileged you to take care of it right now. The time you are wasting calling up on him when he's already given you the power to do it says that you're operating in fear. When you can take authority over that situation and bind it in the name of Jesus. And it's a privilege of the believer to do it because you represent Jesus. The question would come, what would Jesus do? Well, he would bind that up. Well, bind it up. Jesus, bind this up in the name of Jesus. He said, you bind it up. You got the power. The time you take to call on me to ask me to do this and wait till I answer you, you could have done it already. Some lessons it's sad to say you got to learn while you're going through it. Peter prayed 13 words to get out on the water. When he started drowning, he cut 10 of them off and said, Lord, save me. See, sometimes the Lord has to allow you to go through some stuff for you to get the message and understand how to operate in authority. Peter, remember, the Lord did tell him to come. So if he told him to come, he has that confidence that God or the Lord Jesus will save him. So he said, Lord, save me. He didn't turn back to the boat. He didn't call out for the brothers. He called to the one who told him to come. And Jesus reached out his hand and pulled him up. There are 8 categories in Scripture that deal with the issue of binding. 8 different categories. Binding of men by chain, binding demonic spirits, etc., on and on. 8 different categories. But then there are 10 different categories of loosing in Scripture. 10 different categories of loosing. One of my favorite is found in Luke chapter 13, beginning at the 10th verse through the 17th verse. I don't have time to read it all to you. I'm going to just tell it to you. But you go in the Word, see it for yourself. One Sunday, Jesus was teaching in one of their synagogues. And a woman who was bent over in two. She was bent over in two because she had a spirit of infirmity. Now, what's a spirit of infirmity? It is a demonic power over this woman. You might say, well, how do you know it's a demonic power? Because if you keep reading, you'll find out that's what Jesus said. You'll catch that on your way home. For 18 years, this demonic spirit had doubled this woman over. Can you imagine living life bent over? I mean, you are bent over in half. In half. You have to turn your head to look up at anybody. You can't do anything that's comfortable. She was there on the Sabbath. Jesus saw her. He called for her. She came to him. And he said, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And then verse 13 says, he laid his hands on her. And she became straight. And she glorified God. Now the story goes on that the religious rulers got indignant with Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. The ruler of the Jews said, are not there 6 days in the week that a man should work and of them be healed? And not on the Sabbath? Oh, he gonna put Jesus in order now. Jesus steps up and says, ye hypocrite. Doth not any of you, having an ox or an ass in a stall on the Sabbath day, loose him and lead him to water to drink? And should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, in other words, saying that she has promise, she has privilege, this is something that is due her, should she not be loosed on the Sabbath day after being bound 18 years by Satan? Listen. And then the word says, in the 17th verse, all his adversaries became shame. And all appears three times in this verse, of the people rejoiced because of all of the glorious things that had been done by him. And all he did was loose this woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. There's power in loosing. And my brothers and sisters, most of us who even know anything about binding and loosing is always around here binding this. I bind this. I bind that. I bind. I blah, 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 blah. When do you ever loose some good stuff? When do you loose some blessings? When do you lose some healing? When do you lose some deliverance? When do you lose the things that make life worth living for? And so, my brothers and sisters, the principle teaches us that what we bind on earth, the promise is he will bind in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, that's the principle. The promise is he will loose in heaven. Why? Because as he contrasts heaven and earth, there is a connection between the creator and the creation. And when they are together on his word, his will, his way, they work in concert together. God wants heaven to look like earth and earth to look like heaven. But the only way he can get earth to look like heaven is if those who are believers would begin binding the bad and loosing the good. Do you know how we could take over this world for Jesus if we knew how to bind and loose the right stuff? If we knew how to walk in authority, call good what he calls good, call bad what he calls bad, stop trying to get along with folk who don't belong. I hope you caught that. You ain't got no business trying to get along with the sinner. Your business is to convert the sinner. Your business is not to try and be like the world. Your business is to change the world. You shouldn't look like the world. The world ought to look like you, because they experience Jesus because of your witness. And thus their lives are changed, rearranged, and no longer are they conformed to this world. And so you got to learn the power to bind and to loose comes from Jesus's ability that he has privileged every believer to have. Power. Supernatural power. You can't do it on your own. And you've got to be not only in right relationship, but you got to be in sincere fellowship to be able to call those things into being. Because here's what you need to know. All of that's operated by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost ain't moved by religious rhetoric. Oh, we got some folk who know that rhetoric, man, and you know, you just know God know them. And he does. But the truth of the matter is they really don't know him. They just know some religious sayings that sound good. And they practice them so much that they sound good and come natural. It flows, and you say, ooh, they must be close to God. I won't be close to God like that. But what is the work that's manifested after all of that talk? What good works are they producing through the binding and the loosing? You see, there are some things that you need to understand Jesus gave to you to do in the earth realm. In the earth realm. When Jesus had gone to the Mount of Transfiguration, took Peter, James, and John with him. There they are on the mountaintop. He has fellowship with Elijah and Moses, preparing for the cross of Calvary that's soon to come. When Peter, James, and John sees what is going on in this glorious experience, Peter says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Peter missed it. Peter didn't want to go back down the mountain into the valley where the real work is. He wanted to stay on the mountaintop where the glory was. And I got news for you. If you're really going to experience the glory on the mountaintop, you're going to have to learn how to minister in the valley down below. Jesus didn't have to say a word. God parted the sky and spoke through the clouds. What did he tell Peter? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And then he tacked on something he did not say in Matthew's gospel in the beginning when Jesus had been baptized. He said, hear ye him. Hear ye him. What was he saying? That Jesus had something far more important to say to him than he had to say to Jesus. And when they understood, not on the mountaintop, what was going on, they were back down in the valley. And a man had brought his son, who was a lunatic, to Jesus, disgusted with the disciples because they had been with Jesus and couldn't do nothing now. And so he made it clear, I went to your disciples and tried to get them to heal my son, but they couldn't. Then the disciples want to call a quiet meeting. Lord, why couldn't we heal this boy? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. What was he telling them? The same power and authority I had given you already. I've already given that to you. I have not taken that away from you. You let fear and your faithlessness move you to a place of being paralyzed in the supernatural. And Jesus did what they could not do because of what? Their unbelief. And he loosed that boy from his problems. He was no longer a lunatic. He was one in his right mind.
For my way, you're the...
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 708-706 or call area code 225.